Boy, a lively group this morning. You must be more awake than I am. Would like to welcome all of you to the study session, Mesa City Council, of Thursday, June 26th. I'm Mayor Scott Smith, and as always, it's a pleasure to have the opportunity and privilege to serve you. We'll begin this morning's agenda. First of all, I guess, well, I'll wait on that one. First of all, we'll begin by reviewing the agenda for this Tuesday's, not Monday, but Tuesday's council meeting for July 1st, 2008. Oh, I'm sorry, that's right. We'd like to excuse Council Member Summers, who's had a death in the family, his father-in-law, and so would excuse him while he's away attending to that. Okay, let's begin. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. And page 6. That was easy. Gee. Okay. Yeah.
Can the meeting be that quick?
Yeah. And now we're expecting item 2, the bond presentation, to go that quickly, Mr. Brady.
Okay.
Item number 2, hear a presentation, discuss and provide direction on revising the 2008 bond program. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. We have provided to you the summary of the projects for the proposed bond package. Hopefully you've noted there has been one modification to the previous list. As you recall, there was some discussion about the Broadway Road project from Sossaman to Hawes. And really, one of the reasons that we reconsidered this after this was brought to our attention is while this was not currently funded under the Regional Transportation Program, which certainly was helped us give priority, this project has been in the works for some time. I believe we did the design for this project. Where's Dan? Dan probably had come 5 years ago. So we've known of the concerns of this project for some time, and really after reviewing the project again and the significance of the drainage, the stormwater drainage in that area, and I know that I've been in meetings with residents and the neighborhoods out there that are affected. There are times when literally the street floods over and it makes it very difficult for them to get into their neighborhoods. So after carefully considering both the importance of this project, the fact that we've already done the design so we can move forward, we've considered bringing that forward to the council for consideration to be included, but also trying to be very mindful of constraining ourselves fiscally, to make sure that we are not, we're staying within a very modest amount for the bond. We've also tried to keep the cost down for the total package, and thus we've been able to reduce some of the other projects slightly in order so we don't take in a total increase, which I think would have been $14 million. And also please note that the $14 million is a little slightly different than the first number you saw originally for the Broadway project. That only has to do with because we're doing it earlier. This is the inflationary cost difference. That's really all that is by doing it about a year earlier than was originally proposed. So we have that here for you, and we certainly can answer any questions, and Brian and Chuck and Dan are here to answer any questions specific to the projects that are proposed. So, Mayor, that's what we have before you. We would, we anticipate, or really the direction we have for the council or recommendation is we need to really begin to settle on the package so we can get the language set so that this will appear on actually the agenda that you just reviewed, the July 1st, 2008 agenda for next Tuesday. That would be on the agenda for council to consider. So in order to meet the deadlines for the election notices, this item would have to show up for next Tuesday. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Brady. Mr. Raines?
Mayor, we can walk through this fairly quickly. Chris has summarized it very well. Let me just go over with you, if you would, a few issues. Again, this is a two-year budget plan that covers 24 months. We would break it down as identified on the second slide, with really the first year, the next budget year that actually starts next Tuesday, with design of right-of-way and acquisition, things of that nature, after the election, providing these are successful, with a construction focus in 9, 10, and 10, 11. Page 3 really outlines the summary of this program. It's $169.2 million with the adjustments that Mr. Brady talked about. The public safety program has not been adjusted. Just the adjustments are in the streets program in both the 08-09 and 09-10 sales. They now total $110.9 million. It's a little over about $11 million adjustment. The projects for public safety, just as a reminder, and the folks from public safety are here to answer any questions you might have. 11 projects still remaining, identified for a total of $58.3 million that we would anticipate undertaking in the time frame discussed previously. On page 5 is now 13 street projects. We have added the Broadway Road projects, and there was a minor adjustment to the what would be project number 12 and one above that, street construction intersection improvement streetlights. The first street construction intersection improvement streetlights was reduced from $5 million to $4 million, and the arterial road construction was reduced from $15.6 million down to $13.6 million, a small adjustment there. The question always comes up is, what would that new debt be in terms of estimated tax rates? We've put the average out there. It's 14.13 cents. I'm sorry, that's the wrong number, Mayor. I'm confused there. That's just for the new debt. We have the public safety offset that we've talked about before. So for a grand total of 17.18 cents. Should note that the last time we were here talking to you with the before the Broadway Road adjustment, that number was 0.1625. So it's a little over a 1 cent adjustment in the average rate over the 21-year period.
A little over, a little under 1 cent?
Little
under 1 cent.
A little under 1 cent. Excuse me.
$400, yeah. Okay. Anything else? Okay.
Sorry. Page 7 is the impact to
And I want to say on this, I'm sorry, Mr. Brian.
Sure.
That offset, once again, is a separate item. We put it in here for analytical and for presentation purposes from the staff. It's a separate item that will not be determined until the time when we actually look at this.
That's correct.
Right. So just want to make sure that everyone understands that this total is not a total for the new debt. The new debt, which is if these are passed, this is the amount, a 14.13 average, the high and low, as you can see that there. The offset is what staff has proposed that is potential to fund additional operating and maintenance costs that are created by the construction projects that are covered by this new debt. And that will be decided by this council at a later date.
Correct. And those operation and maintenance costs are specifically in public safety.
And specifically related to these projects.
Correct.
Okay. Just want to make sure everyone understands that.
What is the impact to property owners? Again, the comparison is now on page 7 for you. $100,000 residents, $17.18. By comparison, it was $16.25 previously. And for the purpose of comparison, if we think back to the $408.8 million program, it was $36.24. So just try to get those. Those are the comparatives. Just wanted to put with you. One of the last questions we do have to resolve, Mayor needs some direction on for Monday night, is there's been discussion about revising the format of the ballot question. The ballot question, as it appears on slide 8, is everything with the exception of what's in all caps and bold at the bottom. The council has indicated it may be a potential preference to add that clause at the bottom of our ballot language, and just need direction on that, and we will have that available if that change is made for Monday night also. So with that, Mayor, available for questions. Again, staff from Transportation, Police, and Fire are here to answer any questions.
Any questions? Vice Mayor.
Brian, we've already had some who are critical of the city spreading information that this is just a ploy to get more money to put towards light rail and other issues. What are the legal requirements when we go out for a bond of this nature, especially in the description? We've defined what the projects are. It's abundantly clear we cannot shift this money.
Mayor Smith, Vice Mayor Jones, the way it will appear on the ballot will be in two questions, one for public safety, one for fire. The questions will not be project specific, but the revenues or the resources generated from each of those ballot questions have to be used in that area, meaning that if we sell bonds, if we get an approval for the public safety bond election and we sell bonds for public safety, we then have to spend that money for public safety. We cannot spend it on light rail or anything else. It has to be spent for those purposes outlined in that ballot question.
But, Brian, but excuse me, Mayor, let's say we have a transportation initiative on the ballot or streets. Can those monies be spent on
transit?
I mean, I think it's clear public safety doesn't, but can somebody later, I mean, what is the obligation? We're listing out some specific projects, and I understand they're not being voted on the ballot, but once we make a representation of these projects, that this is what we're going to do, how much flexibility, how does that obligate us into the future?
I do not have the specific ballot language for streets, but Debbie May.
Mayor, Council, I have the resolution that was adopted back in November, and the question that was prepared by our bond council and that was approved by the council at that time. I'll just read part of the question, which will define how the monies could be used if approved by the voters. Shall Mesa be authorized to issue and sell blank amount of general obligation bonds to provide funds to design, acquire, construct, improve, furnish, and equip the city's streets and highways and traffic control facilities, and acquire land and interests in land thereof? So that would be how that money could be used. I guess when we are talking, we do make a representation, as Brian and Chris said, saying here are the projects. They may not be project specific, and they are not project specific on the ballot, but there is information that we are putting out. I guess I would ask bond council, and I will ask bond council before Monday, what are the legal limitations for this money? Obviously, there is no intent, if we are not including it on the projects, that we are going to be using this for anything other than projects discussed. But I will find out that information and have it to the council for Monday.
I think I agree. I think we need to be straightforward and specifically state what we're going to do in writing so that there is a binding type of language. Okay. Councilmember Fenter and then Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. You know, I've got those same concerns that Councilmember Jones brought up, and partly there is I'm as tactfully as I can say, from the quality of life vote, how it finally ended up is that became the sole way that fire and I think police was funded. And as far as new positions, now we've heard presentations from fire that said, hey, our new positions all came from quality of life. My point is, I don't think when I look at this public safety offset, or this shouldn't be the substitute of how we future fund public safety. It should be an addition to. And I've struggled with that, maybe it's perception or things that are out there. It's a concern for me. I just don't want this to be the new way we take care of public safety, and we don't look at it from the ongoing costs of adding positions and other things. So just an observation, because there are feelings out there along those lines.
And I'll echo what Councilmember Fenter said. And one reason why I want to make it clear that what do we call that?
Offset.
The offset. I don't want to be backed into thinking that that is the only course of action we have as a council. I understand that the overall budgetary constraints that we have, we've said from day one that one of our greatest challenges to these bonds is how do we pay to staff the fire station, once we build it. And I think that'll be an ongoing problem. I also, I would agree with Councilmember Fenter that it should be an ongoing discussion. I think it's wise, and I appreciate staff pointing out that that is available. It certainly is available. It's a tough decision that we will make, but I don't want to also be backed into a corner to say that that's the only option we have. It seems like when you get into that mode, you foreclose other courses of action or other items that can be taken. Now, at the end of the day, as we look at the entire thing, we may decide that that is the course of action we choose. That's the most viable, it's the most reasonable, it's the way to go. But I'd hate to think that we had foreclosed other opportunities and other options today by presenting this.
And Mayor, I think actually the reason this is coming up is because in the past it's been discussed that the option to use the secondary property tax was not available because of representation. So frankly, all we're trying to do exactly what this council is suggesting, is not suggesting it is the only or the going to be the absolute, but at least making it clear on the outset that there's a possibility that it may be considered in the future along with other options of funding. But I think there has been discussions from previous councils that was not only for the payment of the bonds, but even for other things that option wasn't even available because of representations that were made as part of the campaign.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that. I would hope to believe that it is the option, for me personally at least, it's the option of absolute last resort. And I appreciate the fact that we put it up front here that we are going to consider that option, but it would be the option of last resort in my mind. Councilmember Higgins?
Mayor, the question I have is in the statement where, on the question, the bond language where it says, the issuance of these bonds will result in an annual levy of property taxes sufficient to pay the debt on the bonds. Is there any way you could make that, I don't want to say clearer, but clearer, or some way tied to the word secondary property tax so people understand that the money from this will not go into the general fund in any way, shape, or form?
Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, the statute, it's actually ARS 35-454C, states in quotes what the ballot language shall contain. Mm. And it says that if the intent of the council is to pay the bonds by a levy of a property tax, the ballot language shall contain the phrase, quote, the issuance of these bonds will result in an annual levy of property taxes sufficient to pay the debt on the bonds, close quote. So we have quoted the language in the statute.
There's not a whole lot of wiggle room in shell, is there?
No.
Okay. And so maybe in the description of the...
There
is actually, and I forget the terminology, the publicity pamphlet that everyone will see, we'll talk about.
Okay. Let's make sure that I understand.
You know, because this is, you know, that's always that vague thing where discussions come up before. All right. Thank you.
Councilman Richens?
I just wanted to comment from Vice Mayor Jones, and one of the hesitations I've had about this bond is that there wasn't enough transit projects. I think there should be more stuff looking at transit, bus routes and light rail and things like that. You know, you hit $4 a gallon gas, to me that was a tipping point for my constituents. They want transit, they're clamoring for it, they want alternative ways because we have no other choices. But you know, it is what it is now. We'll have to look further into the future and consider how we're going to fund transit in this community, because it's an important component of economic development.
Vice Mayor?
Well, and I will say along that same line, what we're doing right now is a two-year project. We had the previous bond package was a five-year capital improvement project for transit and public safety. And the wishes of the current council here now was to shrink it down. So basically, you didn't totally eliminate those projects. You just took the most urgent ones, brought it into a two-year plan. That's what we're talking about putting before the voters. So a couple of years from now, we will probably be discussing the transit options. And it may be even more pressing at that time. So for right now, we're talking about a two-year plan. Everybody needs to understand that's what it is.
Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you. I'd like to echo what Councilmember Richens said. The comments that I've heard from residents regarding the bond package are exactly the same as he's heard. What are you doing about transit? You're not doing enough about transit. And I realize this is a two-year plan, but I think one of the important things for us to remember and the community to remember is that there are planning efforts underway at the regional level to look at further transit needs. And I think as a council, we need to actively participate in that and be aware of that. But that is the response that I've been getting from the community when I've talked about the proposed bond package, is that simply we are doing too little on transit. And I think we're going to have to be ready to answer those questions as we continue our work throughout the community. Thank you.
I'd like to make one. Didn't really want to get into individual items, but I did have the opportunity at the District 3 Pancake Breakfast to tour the Dobson Police Station, and I will say that Chief, you're back there. Your staff's doing an incredible job working in those conditions. I mean, every once in a while we have the potential to overstate needs, and that's an abysmal situation that we need to work hard to rectify, because our police officers and detectives and others are doing a yeoman's job to work out of very, very difficult circumstances. And I'm glad I had the chance to experience it, just to see what they're doing. They're literally on top of each other, and I think that public safety is compromised in that area because of those. So I'm in full support of that aspect of the bond. So, Councilmember Fenter?
I'm sorry not to interrupt you, Mayor, if you had another point. I'm going to be gone at a family reunion that I cannot miss, planned for a year. So I'm hoping for some leniency as we look through a couple of these items, because trying to do it over the phone just doesn't work. And I did have a couple of public safety questions.
Now's the time to raise them.
Okay. As far as for fire, and if someone can come in, Chief Beck, I appreciate you taking the time. I've had some great conversations with you and believe you to be an innovative leader and looking forward. As I put my name and stamp on this project at this bond issue, public safety, my concern is there are big questions that we get in email messages and phone calls since this has hit the papers. And I think there needs to be an effort by the department to clearly explain how fire stations are costing $5 million or $9 million. To me, I'm addressing this and looking at this entire package as far as what is going to be, what people are going to vote for. They're going to look at it reasonably under some very difficult economic times. I'm hoping that there's some mechanism or some venue that can be used to clearly explain why those costs are so high. And maybe if you have just 1 second to kind of let us know where they're coming up with these $5 million, $9 million figures.
Mayor, Councilmember Fenter, the cost of construction has climbed in virtually every arena in our community. And it's the same with commercial construction, especially fire stations. As you know, those stations are built to last 30, 40, 50 years, and they become a meeting place for the community, a really destination, if you will, for public safety for members in the community. We bid for these properties for construction. As you know, the quarters are usually developed to allow for additional units to fill in where the growth should occur. So the station is actually built to provide essentially double the service that it initially starts out with. So we're looking at 5,000 plus square feet per facility, and I don't know how many thousands of square feet of apparatus bay, which is reinforced concrete to support fire trucks. It's just not your standard residential home. It is something much greater. Plus, as we house those expensive rigs, we're required to put in ventilation systems for exhaust fumes that historically have leaked into stations and caused health problems. There's a whole series of issues that when you park big trucks inside buildings, you need to provide for some safety issues. So all of those things combined, I think, begin to drive the price up. When we look around the valley and really around the country on the cost per square foot that we use to build fire stations, we're very comparable, if not less than most other communities. So we feel comfortable that we're taking all the necessary steps to be as efficient as possible, but still keep in mind that these are facilities that are going to last for many, many years and serve the community in an expanded way in the future.
As a follow-up?
Yeah, go ahead.
With regard to Williams Gateway and that $9 million facility, as I look through this and I struggle, Mayor brought up some great points at a previous study session. To me, I can stand and look someone in the eyes and say, we have been lacking in our public safety infrastructure. We need to do something now to address that. Unfortunately, I don't know if Station 215 rises to that argument where I can stand and look someone in the eyes and say, we needed to take out a fully operational station at this point. So when I see it put in as a fire station, my arguments about addressing response times and addressing needs, those emergency response needs, I can't look you guys in the eyes and tell you that 215 meets that criteria. But I understand. So part of me wishes that we would take that and call it a Williams Gateway infrastructure development, whatever, because if we're going to be out there selling this to folks and trying to plead with them to vote, it's going to be hard to sell that one. And so I'm struggling with that. I don't know if there's not really any answers here, but that's where I'm coming from, excuse me, as far as Station 215. So that's just an observation. Thank you, sir.
Chief Beck, do these stations have fire sprinklers? Sick question. I was just wondering.
There is. The apparatus floor is due for sure, okay. But I'm not sure it's the living quarters.
Okay. All righty. Any other questions?
You don't want to go there.
You're on fire watch 24/7.
Yeah. Right. No other questions. Up, Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, I just wondered the second and last line where acquire land and design two future fire stations, is that money where you could actually say, hey, you know, we want to put a mini station somewhere, some new thinking or something. We could use money out of that to actually do something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it gives us a little wiggle room in that.
Yeah, that's pretty generic.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Beck. Any other questions, Council? You know, as we look at this, bonding and especially asking for a secondary property tax, I think, is probably one of the most important, I almost use the term sometimes sacred, things we can do, because we're asking our citizens to literally fully invest and put their necks on the line for things of importance in this community. So I don't take this process lightly. This is a very, very important step in Mesa. I think the fact that we've reduced this, it should be seen as I think we're very concerned that we are in difficult times. But as I've said before, we need to continue to invest in our community because if we don't, I think we'll really pay a much greater price in the future. The sense you got one more comment, Councilmember Richens?
I just had one quick comment. I wanted to thank transportation staff for this great spreadsheet that they prepared for us that analyzed traffic volumes, past, present, and future, and the crash histories, because it was really, I think, it's a pretty telling tool about the needs of some of these intersections on this bond and their projected volumes and current safety. So I just wanted to thank you, Dan, for doing a great job presenting that information.
I think that, as always, we have needs that far outstrip our resources. I think everyone recognized that. But families have needs that far outstrip their resources. And I think this is a measured response. I think it's a reasonable response. I think all of us can disagree on specific line items, and we could always find one more thing or two more things that should or should not be. And I have that. But I believe I feel the consensus is we need to move forward. We need to make the final decision. Unless there's any objection, the direction would be to go ahead and prepare for the next council meeting, the specifics based on the package we have, based on the amount we have.
Okay. So, Mayor, if I might, so we will go with the reduced package that was presented by staff today.
Today.
And we will present the resolution in that format. I guess the next question for the council that we would need direction on is, do you want the resolution to include the ballot language? And I'm sorry, but I know, Brian, you have it on here. That's up on the screen now.
That
includes the unless the governing body provides for payment from other sources. That, too, is included expressly in the statute. So the statute says if council intends to use the property taxes, you should not include that. If the council intends to look for other options, you should include this. I have talked to the bond council about this specific question, and the bond council agrees that whether you include this language or you don't, it doesn't preclude the council from either using a property tax or looking for other options. So in other words, if you do not include this language on the ballot, it's bond council's opinion that that would not prevent you from looking for other options in the future if the council chose. Similarly, if you do include this language, it doesn't require that you use something other than the property tax. So it's just based on council's intent at this point.
I would just as soon leave it in there because I think, once again, as everything, we always have our options open, and circumstances change even between now and 2 years. And, you know, if we strike oil and all of a sudden start making a whole bunch of money, I'd just as soon not issue debt or not pay for it with a property tax. So I know that's a long shot, but I'd like to at least keep our options open so we can make decisions as circumstances warrant. So if, unless there's an objection to council, let's, from any other members, let's move ahead as is, or as instructed, and we'll look for the resolution to act on in the next council meeting. Okay, thank you, Chuck, Brian. Next item is acknowledge receipt of minutes, various boards and committees. Do we have a motion? Motion by Councilmember Richin, second by Councilmember Kavanaugh. Aye. We all received it. Okay. Here reports on meetings and conferences attended. Chief, don't run away so fast. Last night, Mr. Brady, council members Kavanaugh and Higgins and the vice mayor and I had the opportunity and privilege to attend the Maricopa Association of Governments Desert Peaks Award, and our police department received one of the awards there. And this is an award process or event that recognizes accomplishments in regional activities. And our police department was the lead department in creating what's called a fusion center. That sounded way too 70s to me. I don't know what it was. But it's an important tool in coordinating efforts, specifically gang-related and other information sharing between police departments in the East Valley. And Chief Gascon, thank you so very much. This is the award. We appreciate the work that you do. And this has been a model, not only in the city, but regionally and nationally also. And our Mesa Police Department was the lead agency. So please, and if you want to explain a little bit more about what we have here.
Sure, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, thank you. The Fusion Center is actually a formalized way of sharing information with all the other police agencies in the Valley, as well as several of the federal agencies. That is a model that the City of New York has started about 3 or 4 years ago from a municipal sense. And in that particular incident, the City of New York spent somewhere around $12 million. Actually, the mayor put in about $8 or $9 million of his own money. We moved to L.A., then we were able to put one.
This mayor's not going to do that.
Okay? Yeah.
You're putting the expectations a little high there, Chief, okay?
I was hoping. I took the model to L.A., and we were able to put one together with about $100,000, and the one here in the East Valley actually was put together with around $60,000 and has already provided some tremendous results. As a matter of fact, the capture and the apprehension of the serial killer that we just had recently, the Fusion Center was an integral part of that development. We've had many other cases. We had a group that engaged in about 17 drive-by shootings recently in the cities of Mesa, Chandler, and Tempe, and again, the Fusion Center, with tremendous work from the Tempe Police Department in this case, also was able to resolve that case in less than 48 hours, and we can go on and on. The center is producing very valuable information on a daily basis, is bringing each of the police agencies working together in a organized structure manner as has never happened before. And we're very excited that there are more people that want to come in to work in the center. We have the ATF is working with us, the U.S. Marshals, DPS just recently expressing interest in joining our fusion center, and so has Pinal County, so it's continuing to grow, and I think is really providing a force multiplier for policing in the region. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief. It would be nice if criminals stopped at boundaries like they do in the old movies, but we know they don't, so we appreciate your efforts in making our region and our city safer.
Thank you very much.
Any other reports, meetings? Mr. Brady, meetings and general information.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder again, it'll be Tuesday, July 1st, will be our next study session in council meeting. Then we'll have a study session Thursday, July 3rd, and then our final council meeting before the summer break will be July 8th, which is also a Tuesday. We also want to remind the council today and invite you to the retirement reception for Debbie Dollar, which will be today, this afternoon at 2:30 at the Mesa Convention Center Building A in the Superstition Ballroom.
And this is the final stop in the Debbie Dollar farewell tour?
I believe so.
Yeah, this is where she gets the Harley, I think. Okay. Donated by the mayor of New York. He seems to be throwing money all over the place. Thank you. Once again, Ms. Dollar, we told you at the last council meeting, we'll tell you again, thank you so very much for your service to the city. Really appreciate it. We're sad to see you leave. Ms. Crocker, are there any requests from citizens present?
No requests, Mayor.